The actions. The goals. The stars. The set piece. And the debris.
And it's taken! Oh, it's a wonderful set piece!
Giving you the very best from the Nigerian Professional Football League.
A result, not a scoreline.
This is the MPFL Tori Podcast.
We are live.
The tournament that has seen big teams fall out like chickens and the smaller teams roar like lions in the tournament. This is the 34th African Cup of Nations in Cote d'Ivoire. We've seen different things here in this AFCON. We've seen 44 games, 105 goals, in which Nigeria has scored 5 goals out of the 105. It's a landmark for us, isn't it, Asami? Welcome to another episode of the MPFL Tori Podcast. A special episode, of course, because of the AFCON. Titled Akwaba 2023. My name is Chris, and I've got Samuel Bamishebi here from FootballX and also a prominent MPFL commentator.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I mean, the tournament has given us lots of tasty moments to look out for, from late goals, so much drama in many of the games, comebacks, red cards, double cards. In fact, even to the highly rated teams in the tournament being knocked out, I think it has really been a tournament to savor. And for everyone who has followed this tournament to this time, I think they've enjoyed and they've got value for their time. So it's an absolute pleasure to be here once again. And let's get into the nits and pieces of it.
Surely, round of 16 fixtures, Nigeria being the first big team to knock out another big team, Cameroon, in the round of 16. Great game from the Super Eagles of Nigeria. They stepped up their performance by 3, in my own opinion. And on the night, Super Eagles really soared and the Lions were kept quiet all through.
I think they really upped their game after the first game that we had against Equatorial Guinea that ended 1-1. I think at that point in time, their attitude and determination was called into question. But they turned it up a notch in the second game against Ivory Coast. And I expected that response, and it did just that. For us to get past Cameroon, I knew that we needed to do more than that, and they really upped the game. The tempo was really high. They played as a unit, totally cohesive, marking together. The energy was there. Everyone was putting in a decent shift. And wow, I know many people will say that's one of the best Super Eagles game that they've seen in a long time, at least from this crop of players. So I think they deserve to be where they are at the moment. And now, there's a lot of expectation from them.
Absolutely. That game, I saw Frank Boyega, Calvin Bassey, Trust Ekong, Alex Iwobi, Victor Osimhen, of course, and Ademola Lookman play up their best games so far in the green, white, green jersey. And I was wowed. It got people talking like, oh, so we can play like this when we want to play. So it's just a matter of fact that the Super Eagles do have quality, and they will show it when they want to show it. And let me ask you on the night, who was your best player? Because for me, it's difficult for me to pick. Victor Osimhen was almost everywhere. Frank Weka was almost everywhere. Calvin Bassey, Ola, you know. These players were almost everywhere.
Absolutely, you are right. It's difficult to pick. I know for the man of the match, verdict is very easy because he contributed the 2 goals
in that game.
But in terms of the overall performance, I don't think I'm going to single one person out. Everybody contributed their bit. Osimhen did not score, he had an assist, but he was everywhere on the defenders of Cameroon. So I think we just need to give the whole team as a unit applause for their performance. That's what I think. Let's not single anybody out. It was a complete team game.
Well, we had a scare in that game, when Nwabali gestured that he could not continue. We had to bring on Francis as well. What was going through your mind? Because for me, it all went through my mind.
I'm sure I share the opinion of a lot of Nigerians right now, because when I saw it first off, I felt I wasn't too serious. I watched it, no, it's not too serious. When I saw Nwabali, and this man was doing his hand like, uncle, what's going on? This is a very critical stage in the game. You know, I got a little bit worried because I feel that we were becoming quite comfortable with Nwabali's presence. He kind of gave out an aura of confidence around the whole team, and it's more like what we've been looking for a long time. It's a bad scare, and everybody, we do hope that he's back before the game against Angola. However, if he's not going to be available for that game, I do expect whoever is called upon to step up, and by step up I mean a massive step up, play the game of their lives, especially if it is Francis as well, because we've seen him play games in the Super Eagles, but we need the game of his life. That performance that he had was in the Europa
against
Manchester United. We need it. That's what we need for every game that he puts on that green white jersey of Nigeria. But we really do hope is Nwabali has started training partially, and I think today should determine. He should have a fitness test today, or that should be on Wednesday or on Thursday, one of the two, and then I'm sure we'll begin to hear the news if he's going to play or not.
Let's talk about the other round of 16 results that we saw. Senegal crashed out by Ivory Coast, who came in through the back door. Were you expecting? Because I actually didn't see that coming.
I totally wasn't expecting it. Absolutely wasn't. I expected Senegal, maybe not to have it as easy as possible, but the way the Super Eagles dispatched Cameroon, that's what I expected. It will be a tough game, but you should be able to get to you. And when they scored the first goal in the first 5 minutes, was it? I felt, yeah, they're right on track. Instead, after the goal, they capitulated, and it was all about Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivoire played like they were really hungry. And I guess it's that moment where they have been called upon. They were so lucky not to be knocked out. They're so lucky to get into the round of 16. It was probably a moment of self-actualization, self-realization for all of them. And they played everything they could. Lucky for them, late penalty, took the game into penalty. Senegal, defending champions, only won AFCON title, out of the race. I think Senegal were fairly very confident in the whole of the tournament. They had 9 points in the group stage, the only team to pick up 9 points. And so, I mean, you feel defending champions, but yeah, well, if you want to mention the favorites, you start with Senegal, but not anymore.
Not anymore, because the Super Eagles of Nigeria are the highest ranked team in this tournament as things stands now. Let's talk about the other round of 16 fixtures. Morocco bowed out, Egypt bowed out, Mauritania, bowed out, Namibia bowed out. Were you expecting, and is there any surprise among those teams that have bowed out?
Not really.
Morocco, perhaps?
Maybe Morocco. And you would say South Africa on the night put in a very fantastic performance. I watched that game and it was like, Morocco really could not answer the question that these Amman Piano boys were bringing. The beats were just too much for them to move to. But aside from that, I think Egypt was quite expected. They were not really super in the tournament. It was 50-50 for Angola and Namibia. And Angola took them to the cleaners, really. Every other result looked like was expected. Or just the anything would really be taken. But Morocco, I think they were the biggest shock of everything. And they were the last North African team left in the competition as at that time, until South Africa said, you need to leave. And now we don't have any of the North African. And I think this is a moment where these countries, the North African countries, now need to look back and say, hey, it seems like we've fallen off. We're not where we used to be. I mean, there used to be so much pride when they talk about the North African side. Oh, North African, this, North African, that. But I mean, Morocco, this is not the World Cup. This is the African Cup of Nations. Blood the flu,
true for AFCON, because what we've seen here is a total different football from what we've seen over the years in so many parts of the world. Let's talk about the quarterfinals fixtures now, Sammy. Nigeria, Angola will definitely be our most focused, but South Africa, Cape Verde, you could say right for South Africa. At the same time, Cape Verde have been a very great bright side in this tournament. But let's talk about Nigeria, Angola. Two things were done like Angola: 2006 World Cup and the Samuel Okwaraji situation that happened. For me, it's a revenge mission, and we must come out tops.
For you, it's a revenge mission. For the players, they just want to get the job done. Omero said in an interview that we really are not interested in any history or what have you. We just want to come here and fight. It looked like we were not interested after the first game, and that's what people said on social media. But we had to up our game. And right now, all we care about is just to win the next game and go to the next round. So I think we who are not on the pitch here, we look at it from the history angle, we look at it from all of the rivalry. We've not played too many games with them, really. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it's going to be a big one because Angola have been good in this tournament. And you cannot underrate them. In fact, if I would say, just look at them like you're playing another Cameroon or you're playing another Cote d'Ivoire and putting that massive shift. And I think if the Super Eagles can replicate that same performance, I think any other country will find out how to defeat Nigeria. Any other country. Because the marking was there. The physicality was there. They closed them down as a unit. They played together. I think I've said enough about that performance. But really, really, Angola would not be an easy ride for the Super Eagles. They need to put in the work.
Okay, they need to put in the work. Ivory Coast as well, we need to put in the work against Mali as well in the quarterfinals. And I think that's another very big game, a West African derby it is as well. Is it survived one? Can they survive another?
Well, it's left to be seen. Mali have also been decent. And Cote d'Ivoire look like they are willing to step up at this point in time, even though they are still not been so convincing. Mm. But in tournaments like this, you really don't need to be super. You might just need to push the game into the latter stages and somehow find a way to win, either a goal or penalty, anything. And if they can do that, good for them. But that's going to be a big fixture. Mali themselves, they've done very well in this tournament. They've not been extra super, but they've got the job done when they needed to. Took away Burkina Faso as well. So I think that's another game we need to look out for, because it's going to be another question of how are we going to enjoy our stay in Abidjan. We know that if Ivory Coast wins, we're going to have a lot of fun. The streets are going to be filled with joy.
By the way, shout out to Ivorian ladies. They need to get that shout out. Shout out to Ivorian ladies.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
All right, let's talk about semifinals. What teams do you think will make it to the semifinals? Your last four predictions.
I think the Super Eagles will get there. I think they'll win that game 1-0 against Angola. I think also Cote d'Ivoire, Mali. I think Cape Verde will get to the semifinals.
Over South Africa?
Yeah.
Okay.
I foresee a very, very tricky game for South Africa. Then Cote d'Ivoire, Mali. My mind is saying Cote d'Ivoire are hungry, but my head is saying Mali doesn't care. I don't know what I'm going to give in that game. And then the last fixture should be DR Congo Guinea. Oh, really? It's anybody's game. But my prediction, Nigeria, Cape Verde, Mali, Congo. That Congo, I just got any name that came to my head, really.
for me, actually, the only thing I'm concerned is who wins the South Africa Cape Verde game, because that is who Nigeria will be facing in the semi-final. So whatever happens in the other half, I really don't care. But I think Cote d'Ivoire, I don't want Cote d'Ivoire to get to the semi-finals, but when they get to the semi-finals, it's almost a certainty that they will get to the final. So for me, I really don't want Cote d'Ivoire to get to the semi-final. So I would choose Mali, then maybe Mali, DR Congo, one of them in the finals, then get past it just like we did against Burkina Faso in 2013. Mm-hmm. So it looks pretty easy for us on paper, but on the pitch, the boys need to step up just like they did against Cameroon. If they can't do that, I think it's going to be easy peasy for us in this tournament. Let's talk about the MPFL a little bit. The action fixtures are on break. But I've seen a little bit of transfers here, and the Issa Ali are moving to Portugal. Isaac Kane moving to Portugal as well. Marius Chuku might be coming back to the MPFL after leaving his Tanzania club. And we'll be seeing other moves as well. But will you coming to Sunshine Stars as their new coach? Do you think he can lead them to the top half of the table?
They'll need him to be at his best, because you even mentioned Tamara going to Iraq.
Iraq, yeah.
Yeah, so many movements, and I think these clubs, this is that period in time where they need to reshuffle, rejig the squad, get some quality players in. We don't know who is still going to leave. Sporting Lagos, we still hear that Aluku might leave, Jonathan might leave, and we don't know yet. It's not.
They signed two players as well. They brought in Wisdom Fernando.
Yeah,
Fernando and Michael Tochuku.
Yeah. from Remo Stars and Aqua United. So this shuffling and shuffling is almost like they're preparing for life because those are two attackers.
Yeah.
So it's more like they're preparing for life. One of those preparing for life after Jonathan Aluku. And if he moves, it will be good for him at the same time. I hope he gets a good deal. But notwithstanding, we still have a massive, massive second half of the season to go. I think we're going to see a lot of movement on the table. Maybe not so much in the first two, because I think Lobby Stars are really saying that they're here to stay. To be honest, I think it's still going to be Lobby Stars, Remo Stars, Eyimba, Duma. Those are the teams that will make up the top four for me. And whatever they do in the transfer window this period in time is going to be very instrumental to that.
All right, it's going to be very instrumental to what they will gain at the end of the season. This is where we'll draw the curtains on this episode of the MPFL Tori podcast, especially episode 4, the African Cup of Nations, titled Aquaba 2023. My name is Chris, I've had 54 Football X Man here, Samuel Bamshebi. To the next episode, stay safe, you all, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the MPFL Tori podcast. For more, you can search the MPFL Tori podcast on all podcast listening platforms or follow us on social media, Twitter at MPFL Tori, Instagram at MPFL_Tori, TikTok or YouTube at MPFL Tori podcast.